Let me turn off my phone, Michael. Yes.
Well, I need her here because she's on my committee.
You should try it.
Oh, I could say better.
Did you bring your trucks?
I start this finance audit facilities planning committee meeting to order. Time is 6:40, 6:20. Ms. Cortez, if you could please take a look.
Mr. Armando Rodriguez?
Present.
Mrs. Patricia Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Rachel Quintana?
Here.
All committee members present.
Okay, now I'll take this to the first item.
First item, committee business 2A, review of warrant list for October 1st through 31st, 2011, to include discussion and possible recommendation to the Board of Trustees.
Okay, do we have any questions? Go ahead.
Yes.
Quintana?
This is in page 11 of 240. And it is to Attainment Company Inc. And acting out social skills, exploring the community, teaching to standards. It's good, and it's for Ms. A. Galvan, teacher.
This is I'm not quite sure what was the product that was purchased. I do know that it's part of special ed funds. Mm-hmm. And Ms. Galvan is a special ed teacher.
So it's just going to her and nobody else?
But let me find out exactly what it is.
Okay. Okay, then page 13 of 240. Okay. The Barnes & Noble. And is this going to different campuses? I see different account numbers in terms of books, like 101 and then 001, and then just the 00.
This looks like we got a monthly statement with various invoices for different purchase orders, and so that is why you see the different locations. Okay. But I can definitely look into the purchase.
Excuse me. Then page 22 up to 40. Calino. It doesn't say what this was. It just says provide catering and lunch to include house salmon, pasta, chicken.
Okay. This looks like it's for Canutillo Elementary, but I'm not quite sure. Let me figure out. I know we did, based on the request that we had last month, as far as the information, it appears that purchase orders, when we're submitted to teams, you know, we provide line item information in detail, because in the justification it wouldn't come out. But when it's a check request, the information that's on the justification box is where this is printed. And so this is probably one that we did neglected to catch.
Yeah, well, you know, it's
so definitely
quite a bit of money. I just wanted to see who,
okay,
who benefited it. Was it a reward? Was it, you know?
I'll look at it.
Page 27 of 240.
Was it 250?
It doesn't give them, it's these food services. And the description on all of them just says commodity storage. Is that a place to store stuff or?
Let me look into it. I don't want to speak out of line. I'm not quite sure what that is. It sounds like that's what it is, where they hold food, but I'm not quite sure.
Okay. And then page 28 of 240.
If I might interrupt real quick, there might be some discrepancy here. Looking at Ms. Gonzalez's book, it says to...
225 pages. I have.
And ours is 240.
Mine's 240.
Mine's 240.
Okay, what's wrong with it?
I'm not sure. I'll pull it out and see what's happening there.
And I have a lot of questions too, but I could have had more.
225 is on
here? Yes.
Yeah, she only has 225.
Okay, sorry to interrupt.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you, Ms. Rachel.
Your book is different. I'm sorry. Okay, the other one is 28 of 240, and it is Defense, Finance, and Accounting Service. And it just says open purchase order for DOD past invoices.
This is also a food service payment, and I recall Adele and I discussing this a few months back, but basically they provide food for the district and then get us a very, you know, very low rate as far as, you know, it's a Department of Defense program that I can go, I need to get clarification before I you know, say something that's not accurate.
Those are the commodities.
Right.
Okay, and then page 31 of 240. It is for, seems like computers.
Yes, Desert Communications.
Is this going to certain people, certain campuses, offices?
Just in looking on page 31, mm-hmm. I'm seeing here that this is it's our Title I funds. I see that it was take curriculum and instruction ordered it, but I would have to inquire before I. And I this may be the computers we brought for approval late September, but then we had a special board. These may be the computers, but let me double check.
Okay. And then page 72 of 240. At the very top, it says consulting fee for district-wide health plan.
That is a monthly fee we pay for our...
for general.
Yes, for our health services.
Page 85 of 240. And this is lifetime memory products, and it seems like it. This is internal computer memory. Is this going to certain computers or?
This was purchased. This was purchased through our Title II Part D, which is the technology portion of the entitlements we received in the past, and I believe Annette purchased memories to replace at different. Campus locations where
yeah, computers needed to be upgraded district wide.
Yes.
Okay. Let me just make sure. Okay, page 97 of 240. And this is to Myers Ace Hardware, and it just seems to be. Doesn't say what maintenance supplies, is just very generic. Maintenance supplies. And
not enough information.
Yeah, it's just very vague.
I will note that and move forward with, you know, reminding them of the need to provide more information. And this was for food service.
Oh, the mic, okay. Okay, then page 173 of 240. It is to RI Tech drug testing, and this is July 2011 pre-employment drug test and August 2011 pre. So we pay for their drug test as the district?
We get billed for the drug tests that are done, and each department pays for the service.
Okay. So it's that pre-employment, so it made it seem like before you guys hire them, or?
Once the individual has been selected.
Yes.
Okay. Once the individual has been selected, it is part of the pre-employment process that they go through drug screening. And then we in HR have an account where everything is used from that, but then the hiring department or campus reimburses for that drug screening. Okay, one more.
I had already seen a purchase order before this one. This one is on page 197 on 240, and I had seen paper, large amounts of paper had been brought to me. But this one is just a small amount. It's just $189. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's for legal paper, which maybe it's not something that's used as much, but I can find out.
It just seems to be separate from the other one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I understood the other one, but I thought, okay.
That's it. Thank you.
Is that it? Ms. Mendoza?
Martha, mine is really short. On page 7, it looks like we reimbursed Anthony ISD for $720.
Ms. Reyna was previously working or employed with Anthony ISD. She was hired by Gatapigo High School as an assistant principal. She had already, prior to her knowledge of coming over to Gatapigo, Anthony ISD had scheduled and planned for travel to CSCO during the summer in August. When she was hired, the superintendent from Anthony contacted Dr. Murphy and mentioned the fact that she was already and registered and everything was ready to go. Is it something that we wanted her to attend, and if so, would we reimburse the district for the expenses? So through the discussions with Mr. Fry, he agreed that the CSCO was something. We had several employees of ours, you know, that were attending the CSCO, and so she attended and was attending on our behalf, and I believe she even presented. Okay. And so that we just basically paid for her expenses.
Yeah. Page 19 of 246. The payment to our legal firm, and this isn't a question, it's just a request. If you look in the back, the description of his charges are pretty generic, and I was wondering if we could have a little bit more specific.
On the actual billing that he provides us?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Is that it?
Rachel stole some of my questions.
Sorry.
My last one is page 102. Night Eyes Protective Service Inc. for a temporary security guard. Did we hire one?
Not yet.
Not yet. We have that position still posted.
And believe it or not, that's it.
Okay. Ms. Searles, do you have any questions?
Oh, certainly.
Okay.
On page 5, Martha, airfare for Elizabeth Miranda Gutierrez to go to the Photoshop training boot camp.
Yeah.
Looks like we paid $2,000. Registration fee for that. That's a lot of money.
It is.
I don't know who she is. I'd like to know who she is, you know, what she got out of this and what she's going to bring back to the district with this.
It is my understanding she's a new CTE teacher, and I can't remember. It's a new program that we've, a new class offering that we have offering at the high school, and this class is associated
will support
with,
her.
Yes.
Okay.
But
thank
yes,
you.
It was a pricey one.
Yeah, it is. But if she's a teacher and, you
yes.
know, that's going to go to all the students, that's well spent. Okay. This is across the board, and I don't understand, and maybe you can help me. We don't need to go to any specific page. An awful lot of travel reimbursement, and it looks like district employees are reimbursed to do I don't know what as they go around the district. If maybe you could just bring me up to speed.
Okay, and if it's within local mileage reimbursement, basically employees, it is at the supervisor or administrator's discretion to budget funds into a mileage account, mm-hmm. in which if employees submit a report with mileage reimbursement for the month, the supervisor will pay. I can tell you that perhaps the IT technicians are, if they use their personal vehicle, mm-hmm. they submit for reimbursement. I would imagine some administrators do it as well, but not ever. It's not the, I guess it's just that certain administrators do request it and others don't. Perhaps the student support personnel, because their role is to go and visit various campuses, that's part of what they submit as well.
And is there like a top on it? Can you, I mean, is there a cap? You $100 is, you know, you can't drive much more than that around the district every month?
When the report that is required to be submitted has, of course, detailed as to the day and mm-hmm. the miles for each trip. In addition, they have provided MapQuest or some kind of standardized mileage report uh-huh. that will support their information written on. But in essence, there isn't a cap, but we do have a per mile rate.
Okay, because I do notice that there are probably two employees that are always well over 100, and everybody else seems to be quite under 100. So I was, just interested in how we decide who gets what. Does that come out of the department's budget?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. Sure.
Yes.
Ms. Charles, there is a state allotted amount, and that's what we use for reimbursement.
Okay.
So the state is the one that sets the rate, the mileage reimbursement rate, and that's what we use.
Okay.
I will provide the regulation that we have in place, okay. along with the reports that we, the forms we have, so that you can just
thank
get
you
an
very
idea
much.
Of what
okay.
we have.
Because I see it every month, and I think of it, and you're not... I just didn't know what our standard was. On page 45, Environmental Systems Research Institute for $3,500. If you could let us know what that, I can see a lot of stuff here, but it doesn't really mean anything to me.
I'm sorry, you said?
Page.
Oh, okay.
46.
Page 46.
Yeah. The entry's on 45 and goes over to 46. If you could just maybe a brief outline of what that was.
Okay. I'll have to look into that.
And maybe who does it.
Turn your turn.
Yeah.
On page 52, actually it starts on page 51, to Fleet Corp for $31,000, and it's fuel. Is this just, we go to the gas station and...
Yes, this is the gas cards that the district uses. They're issued to certain employees, and there's a very good... the system requires an employee to be assigned a PIN number, and so they need to enter the PIN number at the gas, at the fuel pump, in order to dispense the gas. So then we are able to reconcile to the transportation. But this is a monthly fuel bill.
Okay. And apparently for across the board, for everybody, this is buses,
yes.
everybody's fuel.
Thank you.
We had some issues the other night on policy for color of uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
I noticed in beginning on page 54, top of the page, we bought some uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to ask, there's quite a few of them that I've got marked. What color uniforms did all these people buy? Did they buy the orange and white uniforms? Did they get the blue and orange? So the first one would be this invoice number, I guess check number 113262 for $3,897.
Okay, that's for AMS, but I'm not sure.
Okay, if you could find out what...
I know what color they are.
Okay.
They're orange and silver.
Oh, that's good. Okay, that's close. Silver.
It's the cheerleading uniform.
Okay.
These would be the regular uniforms.
I think perhaps, or if, yeah, because if my memory serves me correctly, the packet that you gave us, this looks the same, the information I've already seen.
Okay. They do get their, well, they purchase some uniform. Actually, the camp gear is what they purchase from Flex Inc., the cheerleaders, and then they also purchase all of the school uniforms from them.
Oh.
So that's
probably what.
But it could be a combination of invoices made out to this, because they provide various types of uniforms.
Okay, if you could just nail down the color. On that same page to GA Architecture, Inc. for $1,560, their final payment for contract 1050-000. Mr. Armentaris?
Yes, that is the last payment on the three portables that were moved over to Natchez.
Thank you.
Northwest.
Martha, also on that same page, 55, we've got billing here for our audits. When will the audit be finished?
We are at the tail end of the audit. We will be presenting the actual audit book on the first Friday of December.
Okay.
And then we're scheduled to present to the board December 20th, which is our regularly scheduled board meeting.
Okay.
Very good news.
On page 66, we had to call Roto-Rooter. Do we have plumbers? Roto-Rooter, we called. Do we have plumbers?
Okay.
I'm glad.
Sometimes, though, Ms. Searles, is that sometimes we don't have a snake long enough, and that's when we have to call them.
I understand.
They have a longer snake so that they could reach.
And are we getting two plumbers?
Or getting one?
Okay. Plumber. And we'll have one plumber, one electrician?
That's true.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Just for mileage for the first. Page 75, Kagan for $26,360. I'd like to know how long is that good for? Is that the yearly fee? Is that the monthly fee? You know, how long will that be good for?
Okay, I will find it.
On page 108, and this might be the paper you were talking about, Rachel, for $23,427. It's about mid-page to Mondi Multi-Use Company paper, board approved on August 9th.
That probably is. I will verify. Yes.
Yeah, that's the paper you store in the warehouse.
Okay. On page 130, pencil cup office products for $32,000. I don't recall board approval on that. And it's not written board approval. Or as though it has been approved.
This looks like it's several invoices by different campuses. I can see, you know, Garcia, Brookville Childress, there's finance, the high school. So basically each, we get a monthly statement. However, because it is the office supply house, it's one of the ones that we use.
So this is everybody.
Everybody submits to it.
Okay, very good. On page $139 for $8,840. It's a document camera. And I had asked you last month about we had a really high-priced camera. And now we have another one.
This is not an actual like photo camera. Uh-huh. It's for presentations or class instruction. And I don't recall exactly everything it does, but I'll provide the same information I did.
Okay. And who, you know, who got it in?
Okay. And this is a district-wide one, and it was our funds were used, so it might be that it'll be the roaming camera.
Because I think Garcia got the one.
Yes, he did.
Previously. Okay. On page 160, actually it starts on page 159, for $6,384. It's the PSAT exam for junior students at Northwest Campus. I'd like to see the results of their test when they're back. And can I ask you, Martha, in the past, our children didn't have to pay to take the test. Are we now to a point where we have to pay to take the test?
Let me look into it. I'm not sure.
Pay and somehow we're reimbursed on this. I don't know, but okay. I would like to know that too. Page 177. Salmons Preston Roll Yams. And I'm going to guess it's for special ed.
It is special ed. And
just all the helping things they need.
And this is also ARRA funds.
Okay.
But I will find out who exactly will be using.
That's okay. That's fine. You don't need to. I just wanted to make sure I was very convenient just for the special ed children. Page 199 to Stetson and Associates.
This is special ed also. It was a training provided to all teachers.
Okay.
Through the special ed funding, our special ed.
All the teachers got some special ed training?
Yes.
Excellent. Page 218, University of Texas at El Paso /CONT grants. And underneath it has payroll related as the description.
I'll have to look into that one. I'm not sure what that is.
And just flip the page one to page 220. Varsity Spirit Fashions cheerleader and dance team. They got some uniforms too, Martha.
This is CMS.
If you could tell us what color they got.
Okay.
And that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ms. Casa has any questions?
I just have a few. Martha, on page 68, I see that we issued a check to INX Inc. for $167,190.06, and I see it's E-rate stuff. Is this past E-rate, current E-rate? With what E-rate is this, and when do we know? Did we get any reimbursement on this, or which E-rate is it?
I'll double check, but it looks to me like it's equipment that's going to be used in the data center that would be receiving we would be receiving reimbursement on. But okay. I will verify for you.
Okay.
Was that it?
No. And then on page. On page 197, Spring Hill Suites, $1,999.77, I see that we paid for people to go to a trip, but there's no It doesn't say what trip it was or how it was relevant. It just says who went. How it was relevant to kids or their duties or...
Okay, I will double check on it. It looks like it was a trip that was to Brownsville, or Brownsville, and it was for the lab, the bilingual students, but I will find out.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and then... And where you cut them. Okay, that's it for me. Thank you.
Ms. Gonzalez?
One of the, it's my page is page 4, and one of them is Buena Trovia. American Express, and it's for $1,995. And it says conference registration is Jesus Flores. And it says trip was canceled for personal reasons, but registration must be paid and will be valid for 1 year. How are we going to be able to use that credit?
This was a registration fee that was scheduled for Mr. Flores to attend in September, training in September. However, because he left the district, he did not find it appropriate to attend the training, and the company was willing to hold the fee so that when this train, so when the new network engineer is hired, they can attend the same training.
Okay. I noticed that throughout the warrant list, we continue to not have enough explanation. And we, of course, this is me, I don't know how the board feels, but we need to have more justification. And I don't know if that justification is being just put there for administration purposes only that the board doesn't get to see. Because it is available there for administrative purposes only.
My understanding, and I can go back and get more information. The information we have, we converted from a team's report that it's a combination of different reports that created this actual warrant list, and we throw it into an Access database, and that's how we do both. I don't know if it's a limited number of space, but I see where some have a lot in it.
Exactly.
So let me look and see what more we can do.
And my other request, Martha, is that I noticed that some of these were board approval items, and it's not even indicated there. I don't recall all the items that have been approved. We don't know if some of them have gone beyond the 10,000 limit.
Ron, would you be able to respond to, do they list that it's a board approved item?
Normally when it's over 10,000, I check for that before.
Yeah, but it's not listed here. It's not listed on the warrant list.
Well,
so
it may just be because it's not picking it up the way we're doing it.
Well, and then that's my request.
We'll work together on that. We'll get that slide.
Because even in the invoice, on the payment, the check is a total amount, and we don't, the total is there, but it's above $10,000. So
I will see what we can do.
Okay. Page, control and equipment company. Some items were purchased again, but there's no location there.
Page 26.
Oh, page 26. My page 26, yes.
These are heat pump blowers, Climate Master commercial blowers.
Correct, and then there's no location there.
It's for facility. Well, it's a central location.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, I'm saying that it's throughout some of them. This particular one, it is a district wide, mm-hmm. or whatever location. But there are some items there that are purchased, and they have a specific location that are bought for, And this one, I guess it's okay, but there are some items that are being purchased through this ward list and there's no location there. It's either indicated there again in your, I guess when they put the purchase requisition, but it's not, again, it's not visible here, so. This other one, district communications, again, if there's one, my page is page 28. I guess it was board approved again by $51,768, and I guess it was board approved. Or by board, I don't know. Anyway. My page 28.
It's page 30? Okay. Is it for $72,000? Mm-hmm. Is that what
you're saying? The total is $72,104.54.
Mm-hmm. And this is a combination of various purchase orders. From what the total 72 is for different. If you notice, there's different invoices associated with.
Correct.
So, okay.
Mm-hmm. I know that. Well, I'm not even gonna address that one because I think I know what it is. So. On page 153, Rosslyn Inc., it says furnish and install doors and related hardware. The amount is $87,115.53. Are we done, Mr. Amendaris, with those two particular campuses?
I think I'm holding like. I think it's about $3,000 because they still need to go back and take care of some of the cut keys that don't seem to, you know, they have to kind of like recut them in some cases. But I'm just holding, they're pretty much done for the ADA, for CTE ADA, and we're wanting them to finish so that then we can go and advertise for the second phase of the key that we have on the 2006 bond funds.
Okay.
So there's still like about $3,000.
My other question is on okay, this one has already been asked, so. This one too. That's it. Thank you.
Just real quick, Ms. Mendoza, you're asking for more clarification?
I'm asking some of them, in my opinion. You're talking about the billing for
yeah. And I guess can we also see what they did probably a year ago? And if maybe give a comparison so that way we could see and maybe we could. Do you want to put it on an item just to?
The first page before the billing is a comparison, and it's actually.
No, not the comparison, but the comparison of the billing.
The actual billing.
If you could just put that in our Friday packet, and then if we have any questions on the next week, then we could.
That's a great idea.
Okay.
And then maybe if there is some differences, we show it to the current so that way they could either get current.
I have another question,
go ahead.
Mr. Chair. On page 70, Robert Hawkins, it says payroll related. What is this?
Mm-hmm. Robert Hawkins?
Yes.
These may have been, I would have to verify. In the past, payroll liabilities, for example, the mandatory payments to the government, the IRS, things like that, are produced and then pulled aside and not included. With teams, we have to pull them out, and I don't know if these may be some that are actual, that they were missed. So I will look into that.
And I can't find, but I know that we purchased GIS software for the renewal. Here she comes. GIS software. I can't find a GIS software, and I was very happy to see that the district is renewing that.
Okay.
And
so you're looking for the payment?
Well, no, not necessarily, but
did you see the payment?
I noticed that the district get paid for it, so I'm happy that we're moving along and hopefully we can find out someone to come and train our staff here in the district, and we have a platter. So, Mrs. Searles, you?
Yeah, I asked, that was one of my questions, there's a whole list of expenditures on the GIS, and what was it going to do, and who was going to do it to it?
One of the things that I have to, I do believe that Dr. Murphy, he texted me on, it was Monday night, and he had given me, he wanted me to place a report to the board by the 16th, I believe, and what I'm going to do is give you an overview of the GIS, what it does, the approximate cost of what it would, you know, what would be for the software renewal, what's needed. There's no really special hardware that's needed, but I do have a training that we have to have, contracting services, you know, the only special equipment that is needed is the printer and things like that. But I was going to give you, I have to give you a report, and that's going to be, I can have presented for you on the 16th.
That would be wonderful.
Okay. Which is that environmental systems that you...
Yeah, what page is that on?
It's page 45 and 46.
Okay. Yeah, that was exactly.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was at GES.
Was that it?
My page 42.
Was that it?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are we in agreement to recommend it to a full board?
Yes.
The committee is in agreement to recommend it to a full board. Ms. Cortez, if you could please take us to the next agenda item.
I have one question, Mr. Rodriguez, before you do move on. I feel that it's necessary that the answers to these come back before the regular board meeting so that we, you know, instead of just approving
in case
it,
we need a poll.
We need to know what we're approving.
Okay.
They will be provided on the Friday package.
Thank you very much.
Okay. So that will take us to the next agenda item.
Agenda item 2B, review of district financials for October 1st through the 31st, 2011, to include discussion and possible recommendation to the Board of Trustees.
And do we have any questions, Ms. Quintana?
No.
Ms. Mendoza?
Just one. The tax collection should hit the
December and January. That's what we see the big one. Okay. I would like to add that I will provide a broker list for the board to review and possibly approve if we get all the documentation by Friday for the packet. But I've already sent out a question.
Thank you, Martha.
Mr. Ross, any questions?
No, just really happy about our tax collections and seeing how much we're going to get this year. It's wonderful.
And Ms. Casares, any questions?
No, ma'am.
Ms. Gonzalez?
No, sir. Thank you.
I have a couple of questions just on the statement of cash and investments and what we're looking at. Are we going to be getting a report this coming Tuesday on some of the possible investments, whether it's commercial paper or stuff like that, that has a short-term better yield?
Well, that's where I said, I sent out the questionnaires for the brokers, and because through the brokers, they will be the ones moving moving the funds, but we're waiting for them to provide a questionnaire that's required through our policy. And so I will be, the board will have to approve the brokerage firms. And so basically, if I get the documentation by tomorrow, I will have it for that Friday package and board agenda.
Okay, and as per our financial advisors, some of the stuff that was discussed, are they going to come back and bring that back, or are we just going to look at which ones have a better yield for the district?
Basically, what she did was submit to me the names of brokerage firms that they would recommend that we pursue. And so those are the ones that I've contacted and I'm in progress with. And so based on what information they share, once they submit the information, then we will move forward with the investments.
Mm-hmm. That's all I have for right now. Other than on the 2006, the early bird projects, well, we'll get an update on that, right?
Right.
But can you give us on a separate sheet, just to clarify on how much we have left on the 2006 bond program, so okay, we could say when we're ready to close out that.
For sure.
Yes, sir. Is the committee in agreement to recommend it to a full board?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Or in agreement to recommend it to a full board? Ms. Cortez, if you could please take us to tonight's agenda.
Agenda item 2C, compliance calendar review.
Okay, and Ms. Quintana, do you have any questions? The task group?
No.
No? No questions?
No, sir.
Mr. Rose, do you have any questions?
You know, I don't know that I have the compliance calendar.
It's on a separate sheet. It was the...
I didn't bring the on sheet tonight. Oh, yes. No questions.
No questions?
I'm good. No.
Ms. Casa, does any questions?
No.
Ms. Gonzalez?
No.
I have no questions at this point, so I guess we don't need to recommend it to the full board, right?
It's do just we? Information.
No. Would you want to add anything?
Actually, I did want to share something with you regarding the first act of evaluation of bus routes, and it is kind of give you a little bit of insight into what we've been doing to
do that particular.
And again, the reason is because I think out of all the findings, that's probably the one that's the most ominous. And I remember several months back, I recall Ms. Mendoza actually asked a question regarding, okay, what exactly would be the actual verification procedures on this. And so what we've done is, you know, we've spent some time doing research to figure out what the actual requirements were, the information that the Facilities and Transportation Division provided in regards to that finding was the annual transportation route services reports from the period of 2005-06 all the way up until last year's. And so what the document you have before you is really kind of just that comparative analysis that I'm referring to in the compliance calendar. I'm really just trying to get a sense for, okay, where are the funding coming for all of our bus routes and our bus services? And I'm in the process of kind of drilling down to the actual bus route level so that we can actually notice you know, from year to year, changes in the number of routes, changes in the mileage, changes in the ridership, a number of days operated, all the different factors that kind of come in and make up that amount. And so I just kind of wanted to share that information with you. And I understand that you just got it today, so I don't know that you have any questions, but again, just wanted to provide it to you at this point.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions? No?
That's this.
Yes, ma'am.
No? Okay. And I guess that should be it on this item. And that'll take this. What? Well, you are on item D, is that on this one? Transportation allotment?
Yes, ma'am. It's actually a separate item, and I was actually going to come to the board with a question, but between the time the item was put on the agenda and now, we actually answered the question, so it's going to become just an informational item to the board, literally just to advise the board that a policy...
Okay, so are we just on the compliance calendar?
We just finished that one.
Okay, well, I need to read the next one then to the...
If Ms. Cortez, if you could read us...
Item 2D is update on transportation allotment.
Okay, and then go ahead.
And so again, on that one, it's really more an informational item at this point, simply to advise the board that a policy will be forthcoming probably in the January timeframe. The policy content will essentially be an update to the required hazardous area policy. It's related back to this whole bus route transportation area in that as we were doing the research to get up to speed on the requirements, we came across the Texas Education Code requirement that says the board needs to establish a policy to define hazardous areas as they relate to the district, as well as to define the specific hazardous areas that will be serviced and therefore eligible for funding. And in the course of discovery, what we were able to confirm is that TEA does acknowledge that this district does have a board policy on file. However, the last version, the last dated information that we had is back of 2007. And so given that we're 2011 now, I made a recommendation to Mr. Armendariz and Mr. Miranda to basically update that policy to make sure that the definitions of those hazardous areas and designation of those hazardous routes are current and up to date. And so, therefore, that policy is going to end up being CNA local, I believe, is the one that's going to be contained in. Mm-hmm. My understanding from Mr. Armendariz and Mr. Miranda, they're going to prepare that in time for a presentation to the board in the January timeframe. And on board approval, that policy then needs to be communicated to TEA School Transportation Unit just so that they have it on the file going forward. Okay. And at this point, it's just an informational item.
Okay. Any questions on this? None?
I do have one question. Our craft is a hazardous cargo road. Would this be... I see Mr. Gatlin nodding back there. Yes. Okay, thank you.
Is that it? Yeah? Thank you, Ms. Hidalgo. I'll take us to the next slide.
Item 2E on projects update.
And do you have any questions, Ms. Hinta?
That have come undone that he has to address, and a few other minor issues up there in the football.
Okay, but we do know the final cost, right?
We do know the final cost, yes. In fact, $350 is the final cost for the turf, the $350,000 on the turf. And on the football crumb, it currently stands at $42,504. Originally, I think they had come to the board with a $66,000 figure. When I did the count out there and a number of bags that are out there, the total amount came in to $42,504.
Okay. Now, going on the crumbs, have we filed the insurance?
can't answer that. Yes. Mr. Rodriguez, I'll find out.
Yes, we actually received the payment, the reimbursement from the insurance company.
Okay, and that would be, can we just add a little on there? I guess on the final cost, what the total was with the insurance, and then how much total was it to the district? The other issue, like on the punting, the rock and all.
Yes. That one is completed as far as the GES project is, as far as the concrete or the work that the RC Concrete has done, that has been completed. The reason that I haven't really closed it up is because the slats that we ordered came in the wrong size, so they're supposed to arrive this Friday. And once they come in, then we'll put in the slats and then we'll zero it out. But the number should not change from what you see there, Mr. Rodriguez.
So it's what we've encumbered to date. It's not the.
Yeah, we're not.
So we're looking at a savings of $5,900.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
May I ask a question?
Go ahead.
Who were they ordered from?
I'll check. I know it's a fence company, but I can't recall just offhand who the company is.
Okay.
But I'll make sure that I'll provide you that information.
Thank you.
Okay. And that's all I have for right now. Does anybody have any other questions?
No. I really do like this new format. Okay. And I really like this last column of the savings. Thank you
yes.
very much, Mr. Armendariz.
And I guess that will take us to the next item.
Next item 2F, discussion and possible recommendations to the Board of Trustees regarding purchase and or bid for floor cleaners and related equipment.
I was briefly going over this, but and you said district-wide, but I wish that there was a column there stating also the location at each what campus they're at.
It doesn't have on the top. It's on the top. On the top of this page.
Okay, true.
They're broken up.
True. I apologize.
The question I have is, and I guess this would go to monitor, what do we have on the books, and what is it? What's our inventory system and our controls on that? Do we have some type of where we have the current inventory, and then what's depreciated, so that way you're able to depreciate that?
Yes, we have two databases. Currently, we have the capital asset database, which is where we keep the depreciation information for the audit. And then in addition, we have the control asset database, where it's an assets database in which we include both capital and controlled assets. And so the information that Mr. Armendariz provided you has the information that we found when we did the audit 2 years ago. And in some cases, the equipment that we inventory did not have an actual asset tag, and they were pretty, as far as they were older pieces of equipment, and so it could have been that they were purchased prior to the district having those.
So the current list that we have right now, is that what we have on the books, or is this what we have as an asset? In other words, this is what we accounted for, or is this what we have on the books? Are we missing, and do we have the stuff that we're missing? Or is there anything that...
This list here is actually an actual physical inventory that I conducted.
And we reconciled the information he had with the information we had on our books.
And is there any items missing?
We did. We were able to find everything. We may not have had an actual asset. However, the description and the model...
But you didn't have that number?
But an actual asset tag, no.
Okay.
Some of the equipment was kind of old, so when going through this equipment, I was not able to find either a serial number or an asset number. Whether it had it or not, I'm not too sure.
Which is what we found when we did the district-wide inventory also. I would like to mention, though, that you know, from 2009 this way, any piece of equipment that is delivered comes through the warehouse for tagging. And so...
I think, I don't know if you all recall or remember an inventory system that was worked on. Actually, I think Colleen might have done it. And it was not in the Excel, it was in the other...
It was an Access database.
Access.
As we continued adding assets to that one, it started freezing. It was not a functional system. So we took the data from there. If you will recall, that database was set up as a band-aid until the fixed asset module for Teams came to be. And it's been 3 years, and that's...
So we have everything now on Teams?
They still don't have a fully functional. We will be going out for a bit on an asset database because I'm not sure we can continue waiting on Teams. But right now we're running through the database that was created back when Ms. Dow was here and then converted into an Excel sheet because of Access froze. It was too much information for the system that was set up.
I have another question, and maybe this is going to be part of your presentation, but on the recommendation here, you're asking for approval, and I'm not part of the committee, but do you know how many you're purchasing for each campus and what you're purchasing for each campus in?
Yes, we do. Based on this data, this information that Joe provided, that he went out and verified, that's how we were able to say, well, okay, most campuses had equipment there, but it wasn't functional, or it was in poor condition. Even the ones that were in good condition, what we're doing currently is we hired a company to come in and try to, you know, buy it, bring it back up. And we've been successful on most of them, but we're finding out that a lot of them that don't have tags or model numbers or anything like that, it's a guess for them. And they usually tell us, you know, you're better off purchasing something new. Now, to answer your question, Mrs. Gonzalez, is what we've done is we've broken it up into by campus and the number of equipment that we're proposing. You probably don't have it, that's why you're asking the question.
We'll
make a copy for you on that. All we're bringing them up is that this is what we're going to bring up in fact, we're barely putting the bid together. That's really where we're at. We're just providing information right now. But we can make copies for you today. And we have broken it up by campus.
Ms. Casa?
Ms. Aguilera, I just was processing what you said. Back to what you were saying about the information was too much and it's not able to hold it. I don't understand that. How was the system designed? I mean...
Because
to me, I'm like, wait a minute. Explain, because that doesn't make sense to me.
When the database was created, it was off of an Access database.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, as I implemented the procedures and we went through the inventory and added and modified everything that we had, the process or the plan was that as items were delivered to the warehouse, they were tagged, and then the information entered into the access database. Maybe about a year and a half ago or so, we encountered where it would freeze, and then we had to get out and then come back in, and just a lot of inconsistencies. We submitted a work order through to IT, and it was reviewed by Mr. Flores, and he was the one that informed us that the database was on its last legs because of, there was just too much information, and that was the layman's explanation. I'm not sure.
I just, I'm trying, because I know what you're talking about, and I'm thinking, I think the database is fine, but I bet you it's the GUI on the front end of it, that where you enter the information, that where the problem is, because usually when you're pulling information from Access, it doesn't work that way. I mean, you can put as much information as you want. So my second question is, what about the ScanTrack? Because that there was another one with the barcoding with us. What happened with that?
I am not aware of that system. I've seen the scanners, uh-huh, but a full software on it, I haven't seen. We did look at Pace, which is TIPWIP, uh-huh, because they have a module that will kind of meet our needs. They don't have the depreciation factor into their software, and if we were going to go into a purchase that of a new software asset database, in my opinion, it would make sense to find one that actually depreciates our. So that's why we did work with them. We try to modify the fields to meet the needs of the asset information that is required. However, we weren't able to get to the point where, you know, it would be a fully functional asset database. As far as the Access one that was created, because we were having a lot of those issues and were in, you know, for periods of time unable to actually enter new assets, we opted to put it into an Excel database so that at least we're entering the information and it is
accessible,
documented somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ms. King.
As I'm looking through the list here, I see that there's a lot of NA, which means you have no idea when you have a purchase.
That's correct.
There's just basically no information, not even in past records. Because I know that for the past 20 years, people have been trying to inventory things.
Yeah.
And they didn't leave any kind of trace or...
Through the chair.
If I might.
Basically, as Ms. Anita has explained, the Access database that was developed was only a temporary fix. And to address Ms. Casares, the scan guns, I don't believe they were fully implemented. I don't believe that they had fully implemented the software and bought enough of these inventory guns to use. So really, that really didn't see, wasn't never completed, that project. So when we were doing audits way back when, I believe that it was just a matter of making sure that we picked up all the assets that we could and have a database for them. What I'm looking at here, where on those items that don't have serial numbers, at the very least, I know that at some point in time, the staff went out to the different sites to inventory. And so here on the CISD tag, I mean, at the very least, if they didn't have a serial number or anything they could attach to, then my understanding at the time was that then they would have a CISD tag. So at the very least, we had that number to track.
In some cases, in some of the equipment, you know, just to different temperatures, and when we did the actual inventory, a lot of times, you know, especially like the vacuum cleaner, we couldn't find an actual tag, and then to try to locate, we would say, okay, if you don't find the tag, find the serial number, model, brand. But in some cases, the piece of equipment is so old that the serial number was no longer even legible, and so that was. But again, these were vacuum cleaners that were considerably old and definitely not something that was recently purchased.
Okay, my next question is, Mr. Armendariz, do you have a system in place that either Wiseware or
at least twice a year, I would say. The machinery that needs repair, that it be taken care of then before it gets worse, or that it's diagnosed and taken care of.
Right, that's a very good question. When I first started, that was one of the questions that I asked Joe, is this, what are the conditions of our equipment out there? And he said, well, it's really bad. The second question that I asked is what is the process as to purchasing and maintaining the equipment? And there truly, maybe in the past there was, and then of course Joe also just started pretty much around the same time that I did, so we're kind of like looking at each other, we're asking questions, and we're trying to fish out information. But to answer your question is that what we decided to do is we looked and to see if there was any funding available so that we could start purchasing equipment. The funding source, and correct me if I'm wrong, Martha, but it was very small. If I recall that when Joe started, it was, what, $5,000?
There was an account that had about $5,000, but even at that, I think it was taken away from us.
And then after that, the following year, I recall that I asked Martha if she could put some more money in there. She gave us $10,000 just so that we could cover the needed vacuum cleaners that were greatly needed at the district-wide. To answer your question is, I'd like to build up the inventory first, the functional equipment, because what we did spend some of that money, some of the maintenance money, I used some of the maintenance money to actually repair what was there. When these people came over to look at the repair, to repair them, one of the comments that they made to us is that, yeah, we'll repair them, but we won't warranty anything. Because when you repair one thing, something else breaks down. So, and their recommendation was obviously, look, you need to purchase new equipment.
And I understand that.
Well,
you still need a system,
once
you do buy them.
That's right. Yeah, and so we put in a system. Yes, currently what we have is that, and that's why we went out and did this inventory. We did, you know, so when it was asked for, we already had it. The only thing that we had not done was cross-referenced it with finance, which we did do. Martha did for us. And so what the plan is that, in fact, we're thinking of bringing them in to the to support services so that we can do small kind of repair, because we know that it's very difficult for our custodians to sit down and turn them around after they buffed or something and clean them out. And what happens is that this stuff hardens on it. And then they try to run it and the motor burns. So one of the things that we're planning, that we have planned once we get the new equipment, is to bring them in on a rotating basis. What we're wanting to do is actually buy like one or two extra ones that we keep as support services. So when we bring in something from BCE, we lend them the other, and we try to rotate them on that. One of the things that I'm going to be asking on this is that we also are going to be asking for a maintenance agreement, that they provide us with a maintenance agreement, they being the ones that we purchase from, just to see if it's easier, because we really don't have a small equipment repair person. We just don't. And the plan was that we would use our custodians to go in there and do the simple stuff like replace a band and replace something that's very minor. We could order a small motor. Vacuum cleaners are not very difficult to repair. But then you get into the larger equipment like the scrubbers and the burnishers, that gets a little cumbersome because you have to have some basic knowledge of it. But yes, we do have something in plan that once we do get that equipment, we're going to be rotating them by campus.
I have a question. So what you're saying is they'll be on a regular maintenance program?
Yes.
Change the belt, change the brush, change
sometimes,
the bag.
Sometimes it's as simple as that. Is that the belt is not changed. And then they say it's not working.
Yes.
And you know, you just turn it around, the belt is not there.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're going
to.
So
you will
that.
Have a regular maintenance schedule then. Will you keep us abreast of, you know,
definitely, yeah,
as you begin to formulate that, what it would be? That's all. Thank you.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Two questions. Did you ask your supervisor, not the supervisor, because he's a supervisor.
The head custodian?
Yeah, the head custodians, what were their campus needs?
I did talk to every lead custodian before I put this this together.
Okay. Question number two, and they told you that that's what they needed?
On top of this list that that was just provided to you all, the second part of it is to go back and try to fix some of the older equipment. So this isn't a complete list. This is maybe 75% of it. The other 25% is to fix the current equipment that we have out there throughout the campus.
That is fixable. That we had maintenance, a company come over and say, okay, these we can find parts and we can fix them.
Or they're just minor repairs that are needed where we can get them up to speed.
And one of the reasons that we went that route rather than say, let's get all new equipment is because as we were asking for this equipment, Joe got a rough estimate of it on it, and it just was throwing our budget out.
And that was going to be my question. Where is the funding coming from?
I did set some money aside early in the budget year for equipment that I was able to budget for a whole lot more than the $5,000 and $10,000 that we used to have. But the thing is that the needs are much greater out there, and then so we're trying to what we're trying to do is we're going to say, okay, we're going to get this equipment, and at least it'll keep them going, and then the ones that are repairable, it's repairable. And I think that would be the surest way. And then next year, we go in and replenish it.
Thank you.
Anybody else? No?
I have one question. Under CHS, you have two walking things.
Yes, it's a
Is that the same thing on the other equipment list? Is it different from the riding model scrubber?
Our recommendation, I was talking to Mr. Fry, mm-hmm. and I want to eliminate the riding scrubber. Okay. And the reason being is because it's breaking all the tiles. At the weight of that machine is bursting the tiles at the high school. It's a heavy machine. In fact, sometimes they even put it in the elevator, and it broke all the tiles in the elevator. To take it to the second floor.
The first day when it was brand new, we took it upstairs and broke the tile.
And so if you walk down the hallway, occasionally you'll see the kids didn't do it. It's actually the weight of the machine. And so what I told Mr. Fry is that, look, even in Cielo Vista, the people that clean the mall are not using a rider because of the weight. They use a walk behind. It's motorized, so they're really just walking behind it. It's just rolling, and they're not really pushing anything. I'm moving. My recommendation was to move it. In fact, Joe's also was in agreement to move away from the riding and to move into the walk behinds. The thing about the riding, though, is it's so, when it breaks down, I mean, it's hard to get parts for it. It's very expensive to repair.
The items that you plan on purchasing for support services, there's a little asterisk underneath. Mm. They're going to be shared with these other buildings?
Yes, with Lone Star, Natchez, and administration.
When they ask for it.
Mm-hmm. We'll show. And at the same time, those are going to be the spares that we kind of trade around and all that.
For loaners?
Yes, for loaners, yes.
Thank you.
One of the things, and we're probably going to discuss this on one of the next meetings is on the setting up different committees for different departments when it comes to RFQs, and then having those people sign off on it, as well as all the stuff that's in between. Looking at, you know, the not just the preventive maintenance or the maintenance on it, but also looking at what's the best bang for our buck. You know, if we're going to purchase some type of product that's going to last us longer than, you know, so.
Right, in the bid, we'll write it where it'd be the best value for the district. We won't accept just the cheapest piece of machinery. We'll have an evaluation committee that will evaluate the bids to make sure we're getting quality equipment at the best possible price, not just the cheapest equipment. Because we can get a lot of cheap stuff out there, but it's not going to last very long. But that's the way we bid. Make sure we put those clauses in there. It meets the needs of the district, best value for the district. That's what we evaluate.
Okay, and then the other question, do we still have school dude, right?
Yes, we do.
Is there an inventory system in that?
It does have an inventory system. I don't think I'm going to check to see, but I don't think that was a module that we purchased initially. But that's something that we're looking at for this year. I do have some money set aside to start bringing it in so we can keep an inventory.
And I think something that we need to do is evaluate, you know, what is it that might need to go off into, what is it called?
Salvage.
Our surplus.
Well, surplus is where you've got the material that's still usable and we keep it stored and use it as we need it. That's surplus. Salvage is where it's totally used up and it's end of life, it's no longer usable. Or
and then that way we could take it off our books as well and also look at if it's the inventory system that we need, something that we're able to control and see, you know, I don't know if maybe it has a preventive maintenance component or something where it says, okay, this year, last year you did this type of maintenance, you need to do it again. So it's something to look at. I guess, any other questions or go ahead.
Has anyone I don't know if they supply what you need, but we have Hoover right here in the district.
Has anybody ever thought about, you know, just walking to have a commercial?
No,
it was a residential.
Okay.
It was
a thought.
Okay. And I guess that will take us to the next item.
Next item 2G, update regarding RFQ for architectural services.
And just to go back on the other one, we're just going to, they're going to come back to us and we'll be able to make a full recommendation of work. And so we're on the
MSG. Now, do you want us to bring this back with the equipment to the board next week to recommend that we go out for bids, or do you just want me to go out for bids?
Do you need a recommendation?
No,
we don't
need it.
You're going to go out for bids.
Yes. If I understand correctly, this was information, and that put a little in there possible, you know.
Recommendation.
Really, you just need to bring information.
The next item, which is?
Okay. It was 2G, update regarding RFQ for architectural services.
Okay, on October 18th and 25th, we advertised for the RFQ for RFQ 1202 for architectural and engineering services. The proposals were due on Tuesday, November the 4th at 2 p.m. We received a total of 21 proposals. I am in the process of reviewing those and getting them together so we can form an evaluation committee. We're going to narrow that down to between 6 to 8 possible recommendations, and we'll bring that to the board so that you can set up your interviews and presentations. We're going to try and do the evaluations next week, possibly on the 17th. So we can do our recommendations, and that way we can get it back to the board. You'll have about 3 weeks to do your interviews and the presentations before the December board meeting on the 20th that we told you we had already, and we can go ahead and award that on the 20th if you so desire.
Okay, and I guess what, under the 21 proposals, and I have talked to Dr. Murphy, I don't know what the committee and the board does, but looking at a local presence, I know one other thing when the bond program went, and I think Ms. Gassarez was with me at
for what?
AMS when, was it AMS or some of the people there at the community were saying, you know, about helping the local economy so that way. And I think local presence is My preference, but it's also on capability, so look at that as well. One narrowing it down, and then we can look at it even further when it comes to the board.
And just what I've seen, what I've looked at, this is quite a bit of information to go through. You'll see it. Each one of the proposals is probably an inch thick, so there's 21 of those times 12. We've got 12 copies of each, so everybody can see a copy of it. It's quite extensive. It's going to take a little time to evaluate it, but we're going to be able to weed it down. And from what I've seen, most of them are local, so we're going to have a good mix, and I think we're going to have some good effort there.
And then the other thing that I had, I know we talked about one at the high school, I mean the K through 8, different one at, let's say, Alareta is one campus and then a different one at CHS, and then small projects. So we're looking at maybe four, depending. So I would be more comfortable if we are going to do that type to go with the 8 instead of the 6.
And one thing I'll be working on before we take it to the evaluation committee is actually seeing which proposal wants to do every project, or if they've decided they only want to do a certain project. I still haven't had a chance to go through each one of them because there's over 100 pages in each one, so it takes a little time. But some of them may have only decided they want to do part of it and the small stuff, not the large ones. Some of them may only want to do one of the large projects. So once we get into it and we do a little bit more of information processing, we'll be able to decide that. We'll be able to give that to you as part of the recommendation.
Okay. Ms. Rose, did you have a question?
I did. What criteria will you use for, culling the ones that will be culled?
In the RFQ, there's evaluation. The first one is the experience with public school design services.
I saw those. Okay, so that will be your criteria.
That's what we have to use. So past relationship with county.
Great. Okay, thank you.
Ms. Gonzalez.
When did this RFQ close?
It closed on Tuesday the 1st.
Thank you.
At 2 p.m.
Okay. And I guess, so we're okay with that?
Everybody's okay.
Okay. And I guess that could take us to the next item.
Next agenda item 2H, update regarding Pendant Energy Management Performance Contract, RFQ.
If you'll remember at the last board meeting where we talked about the RFQ for the Architects and Engineering Services, we agreed that we would wait until we opened up the bids and evaluated the bids for the architects and engineering so that we weren't duplicating efforts as far as whether or not the architect could handle energy management part of it, or if we were going to wait and go ahead and do an RFQ for energy management. So when I hear from the board, if you want to RFQ, when we evaluate it, if you still want me to go out for bid for the energy services, I can definitely do that. It's not an issue. It's just
okay. And what I recommended to the last board meeting when we approved the funds, because I didn't approve them the first time,
right,
and I said on the second one, and I told Dr. Murphy and the administration to make sure that they go out to do the RFQs, so that way we could also compare, because if before we might have the architect's contract, maybe some of that could be supplemented. So I think it's the faster the better, and we have talked about 1 month between that one, so then November 1st, and then the other one would be the December 1st.
If you want me to go ahead and go through with it, I can start it up and we can have that ready for you probably for the January board.
Okay, and I think we've already discussed it, but is that okay if we have that? Okay, so we'll do that?
Okay. Awesome. I've already started on it, so I'll just start plugging all the information.
Okay, thank you, sir. And I think that for both of you, or yeah, Mr. Gavin, you're next by yourself. Mr. Armandez, thank you, and then just let her have her and put it in the record. Thank you.
Thank you. I've placed before you a
agenda 2I, discussion and possible recommendation to the Board of Trustees regarding vehicle purchase for superintendent office.
I've placed before you a bid tabulation and a recommendation letter of award for the automobile. I'd like to entertain any questions. We did go out for bid on this. We closed the bids on Monday the 7th at 2 p.m. We received three bids. I did contact Cisbaro. I contacted Casa Ford, Mission Chevrolet, Shamali. There were some out of town that we that also bid on this. Was it Mr. Armstrong that you dealt with, Ms. Searles?
Is that Mike?
Mike Armstrong?
Yeah.
I contacted him. I got his email address. I emailed it to him. I emailed him a couple other times, and he did not submit it yet. So.
Thank
he,
you.
He did give him a chance.
Thank you.
A lot of the, a couple of the dealers I called, they said, you know, we really don't do fleet service. We're mostly retail, so we're really, we're not interested in doing it. We can't make enough money on it because they don't buy in enough quantities to be competitive. So. But we did receive three qualified bids. They all did meet the specifications we were requesting. And Casa Ford came in low with a Ford Fusion at $21,454.16. I know Dr. Murphy was looking more at the Malibu, but the Ford does meet all the specs, and it did come in lower, so.
Any questions or discussion from the board? Any recommendation? No recommendation?
No, sir.
I guess we, unless there's questions from the other board members? No? So no recommendation on the board, right?
No, sir.
No recommendation. So we don't take this to the board next week.
Is that the final of the committee was that this will not go to the board? This will not be recommended
yes.
to the board? So.
Can I take this to your next agenda?
Agenda 2J, discussion and possible recommendation to the board of trustees regarding purchase of INX labor installation of IT data center.
Thank you, Mr. Gatlin.
Thank you.
I think that is Ms. Berger?
I would like to mention that this item, at the last board meeting, we requested approval to the funds to utilize in the data center. And so, in essence, she's done the proposals and those have been approved in several months back, I believe she said in January. However, now that we have approval for, with funding, we were bringing it forward just you know, for the approval to actually expend the funds. However, the proposal and the process as far as requesting to purchase them were submitted initially in January.
I have one question.
Just real quick.
The data center that's going to be installed here?
Yes, sir.
Is that possible? Is it able to relocate?
You make me very nervous when you say that. about very unscientific, Mr. Rodriguez, probably about 92% of it would be able to relocate. What will not be able to relocate is the DMARC, which is about $25,000. That's the, when you put in the phone, DMARC, you know, you have to pay for that.
Is that the line? But it's added value to the building.
Right, and there's something I can do about that. That's what happens all the time. And I make me nervous every time I say that.
What's the total?
This whole project is over $340,000, but this
so
project here is about $82,000.
You're asking us not to exceed a certain amount on the main board meeting?
We asked for additional funding in the amount of $83,000 from the 2011 bonds, the savings. And this was done at the last board meeting. The data center has been funded through ARRA funds. We've used local funds that are e-ratable, and then the bond funds will also be e-ratable.
Okay.
And in saying that, if I recall from the last meeting, refundable?
Refundable money.
Right.
Yes.
And we just, and I, this is my error, I apologize. I've done this planning of pre-planning of pre-planning that I thought we had already done this, and I just thought I had to do it again. I don't have to do it again. You know, it's so it's this is for because check, that's what, but this is for the installation.
Mr. Armendariz, I am with you, Tope Armendariz Rodriguez. I want to ask, I think, Mr. Armendariz to remember exactly what you said, that this is value added to our building, and I think I'm directing it to you and the correct person, or maybe Martha, as we begin to work with Chad Chesky, is that his name?
Kenny Chesney, not
him
Chesney.
Too.
I like that one better.
Oh, yeah. But that we this oh, be something.
This is going to be. This is going to be. I'm telling you, if there's ever a fire or anything, I'm running to that room.
Oh, good. It's the bomb shelter.
This is the bomb shelter. Yes, okay. I'm running to that room.
But I think we need to make sure that
it has to have its own fire suppression system. It has to have its own cooling system.
Yeah.
This is for any organization. This is a must. You have to have this type of room. It's almost comical what we have now.
Well, I would just like to recommend that Mr. Armendariz keep note of some of these upgrades to the building. That
it'll definitely be within our capital assets that are listed, and as far as within the building, the facilities. And so I would imagine that at the time of a discussions with realtors and all, mm-hmm. they would request that they find, what is the value of this building. Well, that additional, the improvements to the data center, the cost will be added to the value of the building.
Okay.
I really didn't think of that. So so I think in what you had asked, Mr. Rodriguez, it's, yes, so we could take a lot of what were putting in, but I think in retrospective, because I didn't know where you were coming from. Where you're coming from that perspective, you would probably want to keep some of the racks. You'd want to keep the HVAC. See, I'm thinking I was ready to pull everything. I wasn't following your chain of thought. So you would keep the HVAC there. You would keep the fire suppression unit there. You would keep all that stuff in there as added value. See, I wasn't following you, the chain of thought.
Or we could take it away if whoever wanted to tear the building down. Okay. But it's something, it's going to be to our benefit to add it to our...
It will be capitalized, definitely.
Thank you.
Is the committee okay in recommending it to a full board?
Sounds like a win.
We're in agreement to recommend it to a full board. Ms. Cortez, if you could take us to the next agenda item.
Next agenda item 2K, discussion and possible recommendation to the Board of Trustees regarding entitlement payment for SHARS.
Is there any questions on this item? Ms. Quintana or Ms. Mendoza?
No.
Ms. Searles, anybody? No? Okay. Are we in agreement to recommend it to the full board?
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're in agreement to recommend it to the full board, if you could take us to the next agenda.
Agenda item 2L, update and under signed 2006 bond funds.
Okay. Is there on this one? Update on is it undersigned or undesignated?
It says undersigned.
I'm not sure what the end is.
Okay.
This nice.
Let's table it.
What table?
Yeah, let's just table that.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And just don't go ahead and recommend it.
Let's just leave it alone.
A German.
Jeez.
I think it might be the undesignated 2006 bond money. What is it we're going to do?
But, okay. But I believe
that
the last board meeting, when we presented, we were informed, you asked us to put all remaining bond money towards the architect fees related to the...
Well, not the architects. Hopefully it's not that much.
Well, that and anything else for the new facility.
Yeah, we were going to reimburse the 2006 bonds from the early bird projects, and then we were going to designate that money to the elementary school.
Right.
Which we said in the bond program when we told the voters.
Right, and then you also made, because there were some items that you said let's keep in charge, and so we've already reclassified, given them account numbers and
are already in this.
But we need the other money that is still on those projects that we told the 2006 voters, we need to see what's left, and then that way we can close that out.
Okay.
Okay? Are we okay with that?
Is this for
no, not
next
for
week
Tuesday.
Or just?
Just for.
In the next meeting.
The sooner the better.
Okay.
Okay. And that will take us to the next item.
Next item is community input.
I thought we had one person from the community, but I guess you left.
Who was that man?
He's an architect. He was here to hear what was going to happen with the RFQ.
Okay. And I guess that will take us to the next item.
Which is the adjournment.
Okay, and that will be. I greet you.
You did! Hey.
Bye-bye.
Yes. Hey.
No competition for
you did it.
And you live up to that, Deputy?